because there's this stage, and I think so. There's a place in the parole board that you have to show remorse, and you know. And I had to tell my mom that, you know, if that's exact, then the fact is I'm never coming home because I'm never going to, you know. So Ira came along, you know, and I tried to explain to them, you know, my thoughts. I had intentions on filing it myself, but I still wanted to make sure that in me filing for Ira, that I'm not giving up my rights to continue with my petition for actual innocence. And they was like, no, you don't have to worry about it. You ain't got to file nothing. We got this. And I went back again. I said, listen, I needed to be clear that me filing an Arab petition is not me seating against my actual innocence claim. And I told them if need be that I have to continue to still be locked up, that and that would be, you know, to the detriment of my actual innocence claim, that was what I was willing to do. So, you know, at that particular time, and this is like when it immediately happened, many people, you know, all the way until, you know, I first came home and years later, you know, this was a new phenomenon, so nobody knew what to do with it, but they did their research, and the actual lawyer that was the front for my Ira hearing was actually a young woman whose first time, that was her first time in front of the judge. And we did a bang-ass job. So again, once I was released, I was released, but I wasn't free, right? Because I wasn't free from the conviction. And I was happy, you know, to be home. Happy to be, you know, in a civilized world, but I wasn't free. So, I continued on having, you know, we continued on having our meetings, and actually my actual hearing was done prior to me being released. So, you know, even being released, it was in the judge's hands that whole time. So it was no, maybe once or twice they had to file a finding facts of law and stuff like that. But the actual, you know, meat of my actual innocent presentation was done before I was released. So it was just waiting, you know, for the decision. We were waiting. We ain't heard nothing yet, and we ain't heard nothing yet, and that's not good, and that's not, you know, and you know, me at that point, you know, and you know, the first time, you know, I told Seth this, and actually the first time that I actually said this, you know, was in a banquet, at Venable, for me, I realized two things once I learned he decided to take my case. I learned that I was coming home soon, and I learned that was gonna get my conviction overturned. You know, so why I say God works in mysterious ways, Jeremy know, but you don't know. There was a point where I came ill. So I was in a coma for a month, off almost a month and a half. And once I was actually released from rehab, not the hospital, the rehab, because I had to learn to walk again, I had to learn to talk again and everything. But 4 days after being released, that's when I found out that my conviction had been vacated. So, you know, again, you know, that we had those times where we were, you know, going back and forth with each other, gauging, you know, oh, well, Judge Richby made this face. Well, he made this comment. What do you think that mean? You know, and for me, you know, I used to just tell him, man, y'all, we got this, you know, and it wasn't, you know, necessarily. Well, actually, it was. It was the fact that I understood it was my time. And it was the confirmation of one of the sayings that, you know, we all know too well. And for 25 years, you know, it had eluded me, but this was now where, you know, they say the truth will set you free. And you know, that other one, you know, the chickens come home to roost. So that was my chicken come home to roost moment.